on a 51-degree morning. And wow, I mean, I was here and Rachel's here job shadowing me. And it seems like the temperature was 46. Wasn't it 46? It was 46, Jason. And now it's up to 51. What is somebody, I mean, starting a fire by our thermometer? What's the deal here?
Could be. It's jumping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man. It's a little chilly, though.
Have you ever heard of the Mexican jumping thermometer?
No.
No, me either.
No. How about, I've heard of Mexican jumping beans.
Yeah, I know. That's where that idea came from in my head.
Maybe you could make a thermometer out of that.
Maybe.
Make $1 million.
So I was thinking of different things to talk about with you this morning. So one of them just starts on the technical side where, do you have that where you rely on technology at your job and there's something like just in, I just recorded a 2-minute newscast for WOGO.
Yep.
And Rachel got her first experience of me dashing from one studio to another because we've got to call Uncle Jason here in a hurry. And
sure.
So, but Eddie, there's something, a news sounder, and I went to my usual place, typed in the usual letters, and it wouldn't come up for me. You ever have that where you have things that you rely on technically and it's just not there for you?
I mean, for sure. You know, we, as most clinics do, we use an electronic medical record, and when we're not able to access it, it can, like, throw a big wrench into everything, because not only can we not see the information about patients, but then we also can't write our reports, and my practice tends to run like a well-oiled machine, and when there's a hiccup like that, it can really throw things off.
Yeah. And that, see, if I was just fully leaning into my ADHD, we would talk about hiccups now, but
sure,
we don't need to.
Okay.
But
yeah, I always follow wherever you go. So.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's keep it on emotion then, because keep it on, I guess, switch to it. It was one of two topics, emotion or death. So I was going to go with emotions. But I remember you actually did a series back in the day on emotions.
Yeah, you know, I think the, unfortunately, I think emotion often gets a bad rap among the church, and, you know, there's all of these books that have come out, like your toxic emotions and your bad emotions, all of those things, whereas emotions are part of our makeup.
So do you remember, I think you did four, I don't know if you did them all consecutively, but...
Yep, I did them consecutively, and it was, I think I did anger, sadness, fear, and joy were the ones that I covered, if I recall. And, you know, there are these core things that show up in all of us at different times. And if we look at Scripture, and especially I think the Psalms, we see glimpses of all of those things being demonstrated for us.
Yeah, for sure. As you say those four, I'm like, give me joy in spades. You know, that's the one I want. So.
Sure. And I think that's true of all of us, right, is that we want those positive things. But the reality of life is that we do encounter all of those other things. You know, there are times when we have seasons of deep sadness. There are times when all of us have been afraid. And for me, I think anger was one that for a long time I was like, I'm not an angry person at all, and you know, late into my life, probably into my 40s, I was like, huh, I'm really angry about that, and recognizing, okay, what's stirring for me here with this? I think to be honest about the emotions that we're experiencing is important for us.
I have brought up the emotion wheel here in studio.
Yeah.
And so all sorts of choices. And I know a small group that Peggy and I did on emotionally healthy spirituality from Peter Scazzaro. We would usually leave that out and say to people at the beginning, kind of, where are you at on this?
Yeah.
And so, good stuff.
Yeah, Brene Brown wrote a great book a couple of years ago called Atlas of the Heart, which kind of starts with the large or the core emotions and then breaks it down into different components of it. So, you know, like under joy, she looks at things like happiness, you know, and kind of goes in all of the different ways we can understand these things.
Excellent. I've heard of the title, but I've not read that from her. All right. Hey, let's close it out. Finishing up Acts 2:31-36 from Letters to the Beloved. You've read the verses already, but it's taken us a couple of days to unpack. You go on with Beloved, Peter preached a powerful sermon energized by my spirit. He laid out the facts about my son, tied it to the scriptures they knew and trusted, and made the case that my son was indeed the promised Messiah. but also that he reigns as Lord over everything. Jesus is not only your Savior, he is also Lord and King of the cosmos, reigning in sovereignty and love. Rejoice in that twin reality. He not only saved you by his passion, but he possesses the power to hold you close forever. Final thought.
Yeah, that last line just stood out to me. You know, I think the fact that we're loved, but we are loved by one who is able to keep us regardless of what happens with us.
Great stuff. Thank you, friend. Talk to you tomorrow. There we go. Our buddy Jason Kanz. Who wants to win $25 in spending on whatever you want at C&J's Candy Store and Scoop Shop in Menominee? I think a lot of people want to win this, Caleb.
I would think so as well, too. Not only all the nostalgic sweets from your childhood that you love, but international candies, again, from all over the world. They've got bubble teas. They've got delicious flavors of ice cream in about any form you could want. It's a great place to go, and we want to give you $25 to spend.
And it's huge. The store is huge.
Yeah, so lots of things that you can do. Again, just a block east of Mabel Tainter in Menominee, C&J's Candy Store and Scoop Shop. We appreciate their support as an advertiser here of WWIB. And for Tuesday Trivia, which is now Win It Wednesday, we want to give you $25 if you can answer this question. One in six of us under the age of 20 have never done this. Never done what? One in six of us under the age of 20 have never done this. 715-723-2555, 723-2555. Give us a call if you haven't won in the past 30 days.
We had a lot of great guesses from a lot of great places yesterday. And typically, as has been our custom, we don't give a hint until 7:45 on Win It Wednesday. So let's stick with that.
But we have heard from Eau Claire, Elk Mound, Jump River, Sand Creek, Chippewa Falls, Prairie Farm, Wausau, Medford, Ladysmith, Willard, Durand, Colfax, Rice Lake, Thorpe, Menominee, Cameron, and Cumberland. None of those fair cities were able to get the answer, but maybe they will today. 715-723-2555. One in six of us under the age of 20 have never done this, never done what. Good morning, WWIB. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Will from Hillsdale.
Will from Hillsdale. All right. For the fair city, town, or village of Hillsdale. I guess I don't know which. What's the answer, Will?
Use a landline phone?
Is it use a landline phone? I believe that was guessed yesterday.
There have been a lot of phone and vehicle guesses.
Do you want a bonus guess on the spot here, Will?
No, I'm not good on the spot.
All right, no problem. Call us back. Think about it. 715-723-2555. One in six of us under the age of 20 have never done this, never done what? 715-723-2555. A few of the incorrect answers from yesterday. It's not use a landline. It's not dial a rotary phone. Not get pulled over by the police. It's not traveled out of state. Pass a driver's test. Just driving a car in general. It's not tasted an alcoholic beverage. Go on vacation out of the state of Wisconsin. Go to a drive-in movie. Use the newspaper. Want ads to find employment. Just a few of the wrong answers from yesterday. As we go back to the phones, good morning, WWIB, the WIB Wake Up Show on a Win It Wednesday. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Jeff. I'm calling from Thorpe.
From Thorpe, all right. What do you think?
Yeah, I tried yesterday, but I didn't win, so I'm going to try today.
All right.
How about being a grandparent?
How about be a grandparent? Is that what we're looking for?
I mean, I don't think they'd even be a parent by 20.
Not what we're looking for, Jeff. Thank you. Call us back. Try again. 715-723-2555. Now lots of folks think they have the right answer. Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Tammy from Durand.
Hey, Tammy, go ahead.
Hi. Is it sleep in their own bed?
Sleep in their own bed. So one in six of us under age 20 have never slept in our own bed. Is that what we're looking for? It's not. Thank you, Tammy. Call us back. 715-723-2555. Good morning, WWIB. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is from Wheeler.
I missed your first name. Go ahead.
Tim.
All right, Tim, what do you think?
Is it ride a bike?
Is it ride a bike? One in six of us.
Why would you say that?
I've never ridden a bike.
You think that's really true?
I think that there's a lot of kids these days who don't ride a bike.
Yeah, wow.
You're absolutely correct.
Tim, you're a winner. You're going to the candy shop in Menominee.
Tim from Wheeler, yes, one in six of us under the age of 20 have never ridden a bike.
That is sad.
How about that? Yeah, I would not have expected that. Tim, what really tipped you off? Now we lost him. Oh, it's a follow-up question.
I think he went out to get on his bike.
We have Rachel in the studio with us, and I'm just kind of assuming, are you under the age of 20?
I am, yes.
As you're job shadowing Halvo this morning, Can you ride a bike, Rachel?
I can, yes.
So, all right. So she's not the 1 in 6. She's the 5 in 6 who wow. can ride a bike. Do you find that surprising at all that 1 in 6 people under the age of 20 can't ride a bike?
I do, yeah. I would have expected more people to be able to ride a bike under 20.
And what I'm hearing it as, they just haven't, right? They haven't ridden a bicycle, right?
So, yeah. And I mean, again, it all comes back to being taught, right?
Yeah,
so if
right.
no one teaches you, what do you do? So, yeah, there you go.
The Whip Wake Up Show on a Win It Wednesday. Congratulations to Tim and Wheeler, who got the correct answer. 1 in 6 under 20 have never ridden a bike. Never ridden a bike. He's got $25 in spending for C&J's Candy Store and Scoop Shop, a block east of the Mabel Tainter in Menominee. Enjoy yourself, Tim. Well, Caleb, a recent survey reveals that a surprising 25%, 1 in 4 Americans experience car-related conflict with their partners due to differing approaches to vehicle care and use.
This is car compatibility, and maybe it should be part of some of those dating sites and apps that they have all the time. It's like, hey, are you going to constantly have to readjust the mirrors and the seat in your vehicle if you guys get married?
Yeah, arguments over shared, you know, we hear about arguments over money, right? But arguments over shared vehicles are common, with 45% of couples admitting to such disputes, often stemming from what?
Well, it could be disagreements over car settings like seat positions, mirrors, and stereo settings. I don't really get the arguing.
It's
sort of like the, hey, she was driving this vehicle last, so I've got to adjust.
I don't see the complaint.
What are you going to say? It's like, hey, stop being short. I don't understand that.
Don't sing the Randy Newman short people song. The average couple shares a vehicle 8 times a month, and readjusting after their partner drives causes stress for many.
I will say, if there are times when I jump in the vehicle too quickly after my wife has used it and I'm on the road and it's like, oh, wait, the mirrors aren't right, et cetera, et cetera. So it's more just my fault. The top annoyances of getting into a car after your spouse.
We knew this from 10 to 1.
Yeah. So having to readjust the climate control settings, 6% say, yeah, that's the top annoyance.
All right. Number 9 is facing a mess of some kind in the passenger's area. That's what 7% say.
8% say feeling too cramped.
All right. Another 8% say turning on the radio to find it set to the station you hate. Come on, adjust the station.
As long as WWIB is your number one, then you'll be good.
Yeah.
10% say biggest annoyance, having to readjust the steering wheel position.
Also, 11%, the number 5, turning on the stereo to the volume being too loud.
Oh, I do that to my wife. No. I like it loud. And so she can't stand it as loud as it is. That's totally my fault.
Well, a little bit hearing challenge in the radio biz, you
know? Yes, yes. Number 4, being greeted with an empty gas tank.
Okay, that's a problem. That to me maybe is an issue. Yeah, right. Don't do that to your wife, right? Number 3, 15% say feeling too far away from the steering wheel. Well, scoot it up.
2 more, the top annoyances of getting into a car after your spouse. Number 2, having to readjust the mirrors. 22% say that.
And the runaway winner, 35% say having to readjust the seat settings.
I mean, that does happen again with both of us because, again, she's 5'3 and 3/4 or 5'4 and 3/4. I'm 6'1. So, yeah, there's a difference.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
In reach.
But all in all, this whole thing says, come, you know, deal with it, people.
Yeah. I don't understand getting in arguments over this.
Wow.
Now, the whole gasping thing when I'm driving, that could be a different one.
I'm Kevin McAllister, 671 Lincoln Boulevard.
671 Lincoln Boulevard could now be yours.
That's right. The Home Alone house is now listed. This is from the 1990 movie that did spawn a couple of sequels.
We've talked about homes and the great realtors we have for advertisers here. This is one that I'm sure they would love to be able to list because the asking price is pretty steep.
It is $5.25 million, and it's currently on the market, actually, in Winnetka, Illinois.
Not New York. Again, almost $5.3 million. This picturesque location was where a young Macaulay Culkin, playing the role of Kevin McAllister, defended his family home from intruders in the beloved Christmas comedy. No word on whether those booby traps are still available.
But here is what is in the house, Caleb. With 14 rooms and a 9,126 square feet of living space, this historic property features all sorts of things.
Many modern amenities, including 5 bedrooms and 6 full baths.
How about a gym and a home cinema?
And even an indoor half court for basketball enthusiasts.
That sounds awesome.
Now, they do answer the question this. They don't have all the traps that Kevin set up, which honestly, I think you could push the value of this home up quite a bit if you still had those. Here's the dad in me. Over 9,000 square feet, 14 rooms. And I'm like, what is their heating bill
like? Yeah, that's true. That's true. And somebody shut off the lights and closed the doors. The current owners who bought the house for $1.59 million 12 years ago have renovated it while preserving its exterior and significant features.
That is quite the resale value from $1.59 million 12 years ago to $5.25 asking price. Now, adjacent to the property is the neighboring house that served as old man Marley's residence in the movie. That was listed at a pretty steep price as well, Alvo.
Wow. For $3.1 million, it was listed for 10 years ago.
I mean, that's what they always say about real estate, right? They're not making any more of that land. So get it while you can and flip it down there in Illinois.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for.
Well, did you know, Caleb, that rain is actually good for you, and rain actually makes people happy?
See, that's interesting because so many times it's rain, rain, go away.
I know.
Come again another day. That's, I mean, maybe just because we've been in the mode of broadcasting baseball and softball, you and I, for the last couple months, and so it's, no, we don't want the rain, but this kind of puts the lie to that.
But, you know, boy, something is really nice, right? Like you're in bed at night. I mean, sometimes it can wake you up, but there's, I mean, thunderstorms and light, I mean, are really fascinating. Now, tornadoes gets a little much.
Scientists have discovered that rain can actually boost our mood and improve our health. A researcher from Cardiff University's School of Chemistry explains that when raindrops hit the ground, they create negative ions.
Yeah, so these negative ions can have a positive impact on both your body and your mind.
Research shows that inhaling negative ions can boost mood, relieve stress, and increase energy levels.
And we talk a lot about ions here off the air, but inhaling negative ions from sources like rain, waterfalls, or sea waves has been linked to improved health and well-being.
I mean, and again, we just have sparkling conversation here, and ions do frequently come up.
Well, I'm usually citing chemistry monthly, so.
So the next time it rains, instead of staying indoors, consider going outside for a walk or run to experience the positive effects of negative ions. The positive effects of negative ions. Who knew?
Oh, I have great memories of, particularly, I think it's my daughter, Grace, and her friend going out and jumping in the puddles, you know? And so that's something that kids will do.
Well, and actually, one of the memories, our job shadower today, Rachel, is potentially headed to Cedarville, we hear, right? Cedarville University. And that's my alma mater. And actually, I was trying to dig through and look for some good memories there. And I remember, with a lot of friends, my sophomore year when I transferred in, their freshman year, there was a big rainstorm and we all just went out and got soaked. Huh. And it's just one of those things that you remember. It's like how much fun it was to not have a care in the world and not worry about getting a cold the next day and just go out and enjoy the rain.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm missing that as an adult this many years later. So
there you go.
I guess enjoy that, Rachel. It does rain a lot in Cedarville and it rains sideways. So be mindful of that when you pick out your umbrella.
In Ohio.
Indeed.